1017 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline this morning. Chairman of the Republican Party of Caddo Parish joining us, Matt Kay. Matt, good morning.
Morning. How are y'all?
Well, we're doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. This has kind of become a little bit of a contentious issue. This multi-sports complex Caddo Parish Commission has proposed. Tell us, now there was a vote yesterday. It was a 7-3 vote to move the sports complex decision to the voters. Why is the Republican Party opposed to bringing it to the voters?
So we're opposed to bringing it to the voters. We hope the voters will vote it down. I guess it's okay that the voters get to vote it down, but whenever you look at the details of this proposal, I think John Atkins pointed out correctly, but it is a $63 million proposal that at maturity, its revenue will bring in a maximum of $3.9 million in revenue. But when you look at the profit of it, it'll take, according to John Atkins' figures, over 240 years to finally turn a profit. It just doesn't make any sound financial sense to do this.
If it'll bring in nearly $4 million a year, I don't see that 200 and some years. Where are these numbers missing?
So $4 million a year is revenue. Obviously, out of the revenue, you have overhead expenses, utilities, salaries for workers, maintenance, upkeep. So whenever you out of the revenue, according to the figures that John was reading, at that point, I believe it's about $250,000 worth of profit per year. So $250,000 worth of profit into $60 million is roughly 240 years or what have you.
Is there any merit to this project? People are screaming about quality of life. They want quality of life. They want these kinds of things in our community. Do you see any merit to this at all?
Look, I understand quality of life, but I mean, we have so many issues facing Caddo Parish. I don't think it's the right time to be looking at a sports complex. We have, you know, we have crime issues, obviously, on the city side. We have a little bit of water issues. We have several different issues that are facing our area. We've got underfunded police officers. We have police officers need up. Police departments needing equipment, so on and so forth. We just have bigger issues.
Caddo Parish doesn't fund police officers. And it's like young parents going, well, we're not going to have a kid because we can't afford it yet. When is it going to be the right time to invest in the future?
You know, part of why we came out against it as the Republican Party yesterday is, you know, everybody's saying that this doesn't involve a tax increase. We actually have some of the highest property millages in the state in Caddo Parish. And this time, or January of last year, the Caddo Parish Commission actually voted to roll forward our taxes, which in essence was a tax increase because of our assessments coming back and being a higher assessment. They kept us at the same millage, whereas by law, to collect what they needed to collect to service the bonds, they actually were supposed to roll back our taxes to collect that. So they rolled forward our taxes. They're collecting more, but they have a bonding capacity to that. So we've already had our taxes raised, and we already have some of the highest property taxes in the entire state. So, you know, I don't know the answer to when it's time, but, I mean, we're taxed to the brim, and we're already not getting a great return. Other areas are getting a good return and aren't taxed as high.
So. I'm part of this. I'm really on the fence on this, Matt, as you well know, because I think the problem here is trust in government, that we don't trust that the commission will do the right thing if we do give them this proposal. Is that a big part of your objection to this too?
100%. I'm not necessarily against sports complex, but I believe if it was a profitable, investment that made sound financial sense a decade ago, a private business would have come in and already done this.
But like in Ruston, it's Ruston doing it. I mean, they're building a big sports complex like this, and it's tax dollars being used. I get that too, but I don't know that I trust this government, that we've heard everything yet, that there's still things that are secret.
Well, and then when you have commissioners yesterday mentioning that we don't even know all the details yet, but we want to go ahead and ask the voters for the $60 million. Like, I mean, that reminds me of let's pass Obamacare so we can find out what's
Pelosi.
Happened.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I don't like the fact that we don't know where it's going to be yet. We don't know more specifics than we know. And it seems like, I don't know, it seems like details are being a little cagey about, like, there's discussion about a swimming pool or not a swimming pool. I know we've gotten listeners that have called, hey, we need a competition swimming pool in this market. That's another area that we can, you know, that we can exploit.
And the voters of Louisiana have shown us just in the past week that if they want to vote in a ballot initiative, they need to have trust that what is going on that ballot initiative, they trust is going to actually do that job. I mean, we just voted down statewide five ballot propositions. I mean, you have to have the trust of the voters, and you have to have your details ironed out before the voters will vote something in like this. You can't.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
You're talking, Matt Kay, you're the chairman of the Caddo Parish Republican Party. You're talking to two people who each has two children who all live out of state and who will probably never return. What is the Republican Party's plan for growth in our community, for making our kids want to come back or want to stay here? What is the plan from the Republican Party for that?
Look, I believe that the things that need to be here for people to move back to our area, the number one issue that you talk, that whenever you talk to somebody in Caddo Parish, Shreveport specifically, that we have to take care of is our crime. I mean, I don't know how we're going to expect people to come visit the sports complex whenever, you know, we have the crime rate that we have. It's not always safe to go around in Shreveport. I mean, we have a very unacceptable crime rate. And until we fix that issue, I mean, I don't know that we can fix some of these issues until we fix specifically that issue. I mean, our schools have gotten better. We've got a pretty good school board in there fixing up some of the school issues, but our crime issue is the number one issue by and far.
And that's one of the points of people saying, look, don't put it at the fairgrounds. Yes, it'd be a very visible location, and geographically it'd be a great location, but if nothing else, the perception is it's not a safe area.
And on I-20 by the interstate, you have a lot of visibility. The problem is a lot of people locally don't necessarily go to the fair anymore because there is a higher crime rate around the fairgrounds. I mean, look, the mud bugs have made it work, and there's good security there, and people attend the mud bugs. It is possible. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Good
I'm just
point.
Saying we have to get things under control.
Matt Kay, the Chamber of Commerce has come out in favor of this. The Committee of 100 has come out against for this. Do you not trust those groups in our community?
I believe that they probably have good intentions. Whenever I look at the details of this proposal, I don't see what they're currently seeing. If you are talking about projections of, you know, it's going to fill up our hotel rooms and people are going to be eating dinner and shopping more, you know, maybe it makes sense if you can hypothesize that that's going to happen in any business plan. But I'm not convinced that if you put it out at the fairgrounds, that it's going to be as well attended as they think. Maybe it's going to increase sales tax revenue for Bossier. Maybe people come to the sports complex in Shreveport and stay and shop in Bossier. I don't know those things.
Well, it may be a moot point because, like you mentioned, the five amendments all went down flaming. Even if this goes to the ballot in November, do you think it passes?
At this point, I don't know what would pass with a yes vote because I believe... going back to last year with the amendments last year and then the amendments this year, I think we are 9-0. I think it's like 9 or 10 of these straight have failed on the no vote. So people are currently trained to vote no. And if you want them to vote yes, you have to go give them a solid reason that makes sense to make them go vote yes, or else they're naturally trained to go vote no until they know why they need to vote yes.
Could anything change your mind on this?
If they give us more details and it makes more sense, maybe my mind could be changed. There are people that I respect that are for this. The problem is whenever you're admitting that you don't even have all the details, you don't even know everything about this, and the numbers that we're hearing just don't make sense. I mean, it's not a great idea right now where it sits as we're putting it on the ballot for November 3rd.
Matt Kay, chairman of the Caddo Parish Republican Party. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, Joy Walter, state rep, going to be joining us, part of the House Intergovernmental Affairs Committee that had a big vote yesterday on congressional redistricting. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
By the way, I do want to follow up because this is a great... Earlier this morning, we talked with John Fleming, state treasurer, and now it's he and Julia Letlow. And it's just the two. Letlow, of course, came through the election with 45%.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a great point. Brian from Bossier City says, I think she probably had a lot of people that voted for her, even though they liked Fleming more, because they felt she had the best chance to beat Cassidy. But now that Cassidy is out of the realm of possibility, some of her votes may switch to Fleming. That's a great point.
Her voters might
some
change.
Of that 45% only was there because to get Cassidy out, they felt she was the only viable candidate that could beat Cassidy. Now that he's out,
they're going to go with the more conservative one. Okay.
The conservatives. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Interesting. That is interesting. Wow. Okay. We'll have to watch that. I mean, I'm still waiting on Congresswoman Letlow to respond to my text.
She hadn't
gotten back to me yet. So I'm gonna connect with her campaign team next week and say, what's the deal? What's going on? What's the holdup? What's the problem?
Okay.
She needs to come answer questions.
Well, you
know,
sure.
And get to know us. Get to know this market.
And I don't know, maybe somebody needs to tell her, contrary to a popular belief below Alec, we are not part of East Texas.
No, we're not.
Shreveport and Caddo Parish is still part of the state of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, the third largest market in this state.
Right. But to her credit, to benefit of the doubt, in the realm of the political world, she's a newbie.
I know.
She's new at this. She got thrust into it because of a tragedy. So I understand that.
Well,
so
this and doing the bulk these interviews, of the voters are along that I-10-12 corridor. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
And so doing all these interviews and all this media attention for her is probably overwhelming, I would imagine, at some point. But you got to do it at some point.
Well,
I mean, you
got to. Okay, if you can't handle a little radio station in Shreveport, how are you going to be on the floor in Congress?
Oh, right. Exactly.
Can you not handle the pressure?
You got to be able to answer some questions.
Yeah.
You got to be able to face, you know, tough questions that are going to come at you from time to time. That's just the way it goes. So, you know, we shall see.
Redistricting, we're going to talk with Joy Walters, state representative, the big House and Governmental Affairs Committee meeting. What it went, 10 hours yesterday?
Sure did.
That was a long meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up with a 10-7 vote. We'll talk to her in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, this is awesome. We got a great message from Caddo Parish Commissioner John Atkins in response to our earlier interviews about the sports complex. But I want a little more time than we have right now. So we'll go into that after our interview with Joy Walters, state representative, who's going to talk to us about the 10-hour meeting of the House and Governmental Affairs Committee yesterday on the congressional redistricting map. 101.7 FM's 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, State Rep. Joy Walters joining us. Joy, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Doing well. Did you get sleep?
I did. I don't think I got enough, but I got some.
Okay.
Long committee meeting to talk about the congressional district maps. Y'all heard from dozens and dozens of people who opposed SB 121, which redraws the congressional lines, where we will now have 5 Republican districts and 1 Democratic district. You were on the losing end of the vote. You kind of saw the handwriting on the wall going into the meeting, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. I saw the handwriting on the wall, but I still came prepared to stand up for my people, ready to fight, ready to, you know, let them know, hey, I hear you, I support you. And a lot of people showed up from Shreveport yesterday, and I believe that that is a very critical piece because it is the congressional district, excuse me, that represented some of Shreveport, shall I say, and it's being taken away from us. And where do we go from here? How do we maneuver from here? And so I'm glad that people were able to travel down to testify to let the committee know that, hey, we just don't want this, period. We don't feel that it's fair. We don't feel that you are actually hearing us. And it's one of those things where there's a fine line between being appreciated versus just being tolerated. But and what we saw yesterday was toleration.
But Louisiana didn't go, say, the route of Massachusetts that has 30% Republican voters. They have 9 congressional seats, and they have 0 Republicans.
Yeah, and I understand your point. And what I will say, because I actually lived a little bit in Brookline when I was transitioning from high school going into college, and what I found in Massachusetts is that the way that our culture in the South is based more on race, less about qualifications and things of that nature. In Massachusetts, it's just different. And we have to talk about the, you know, economic differences between the two states, educational differences between the two states, because all of those different things factor in.
Rep. Walters, let me ask you the question, though, that a lot of people objected to the current map that Cleo Fields represents, snaking all the way from Baton Rouge, dividing Baton Rouge, coming up through Alexandria, and taking a small piece of Shreveport. That just didn't seem right either. I assume you were not, that was not the perfect map in your brain as well, correct?
No, it wasn't the perfect map, but with the super majority that we had, it was okay, either you take this or you get nothing at all. And so essentially the map, well, we proposed a few different maps from the Democrat side when we did the redistricting. Actually, that was the very first session of my tenure as a state representative was redistricting, and there were maps proposed that went from the Monroe region and area, which was like the Louisiana/Mississippi Delta, and that took the route of the Mississippi River. And the Mississippi River does flow into Baton Rouge, and so that would have gone from like that Monroe region, Monticello, gone down to my family's homeland of Files, Louisiana, Vidalia, Sicily Island, and then even further south into the Avoyelles area, and then it would have led into a piece of Baton Rouge. So it would have taken a very different route, and so it would not have, I'm going to say, snaked through the state. And the justification that we received from our counterparts on the other side of the aisle when that particular map was favorited and brought is that it was considered to be the map of the Red River, and that would be the claim for making the map go from Shreveport, Cane River, Natchitoches, Louisiana, down to Alexandria, down to St. Landry, and on into Baton Rouge.
What do you say to folks who will say this map doesn't prohibit a black or a Democrat for running in any of these districts? that if Joy Walters wants to run in any of these districts, you can, but that and people will vote for black or white. The color won't matter. What do you say to people who make that argument?
Sure. So first things first is that, you know, we are not a colorblind society. You know, I noticed that even Senator Marsh yesterday, he had on a fully gray suit. You know, it wasn't like gray and then black pants or gray jacket and orange pants. Like, everything was color coordinated. And so, in fact, it is okay to see race. Nothing's wrong with that. It is one thing to be able to put your name on a ballot, but if the numbers are not in your favor and not even around your favor, then that is just a talking point to make someone feel okay with what is happening, right? So, yes, a Democrat can run in a highly favored Republican district, or even, because we have a lot of no party, right? And we saw them testify yesterday too. So let's say if there's a district for the no party, we can see, you know, in a race where a no party can run in a Democratic district, but if there are not enough no party supporters, and I don't think that the no party is I think with that legislation, I know independents were taken, their rights were taken away as a party. And so I think that the no party cluster, and I'm calling it a cluster, a voting block, because I don't think that they are able to qualify under the boundaries of a party. But nonetheless, they could run in either, right? But the bar for them is set even much higher. So just to get their names on the ballot, no party that's running in a Democrat district or even in a Republican district, they will have to have signatures. There is no route for them to just go pay a fee to the party or to Secretary of State or to the clerk court, et cetera. They will have to go another route. So, again, I think that it disenfranchises, you know, not just Democrat voters. This will disenfranchise, Democrat. It will disenfranchise Libertarian, Green Party. All of
when
that.
You say, when you say disenfranchises, State Rep. Joy Walters, mm-hmm. that's the presupposition that black people are only going to vote for black people. Democrats are only going to vote for black candidates. Republicans are only going to vote for white candidates. Is that the argument?
No, you're interpreting me a little bit wrong. So when I say disenfranchised, I'm talking about the leveling the playing field here, right? So before this administration, when you had no party, when you had independents, we saw them run, and even in a smaller race, at home, it was a school board race. There was a young lady, she qualified as either no party or independent, and she did not.
Oh, hold on, this is a mistake.
Okay, you're back. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought y'all had cut me off.
Sorry about that. I don't know where that came from.
No, no problem. So, yeah, so she had qualified as a no-party candidate, and she made the runoff against, it was maybe like three or four Democrats. And so the front leader was a Democrat, and then there we saw a no-party candidate, qualify, run, and have that opportunity. So I believe that the unique dynamic or at play is that every party deserves levels of fairness. And again, we heard that even from the no party, because now the bar has set even higher for them to just even qualify to get on the ballot. So when I say disenfranchised, that's the route that I'm angling, is the fact that now it's not just, okay, I can go and qualify as well, and we don't even use the same rules. We don't even have the same guidelines between those three party dynamics.
Rep. Walters, I was looking at the demographics, and I want to hear, this is what bothers me. We have about 1 million Democrats in Louisiana and about 1 million Republicans, and about 800.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Stocks are up this morning to kick off the trading day. The Dow is up by more than 200 points. U.S. drivers are paying gasoline prices near four-year highs as they hit the road this Memorial Day weekend. AAA data says the national average currently sits at $4.55 per gallon. Analysts say prices at the pump could hit $5 per gallon this summer if the Strait of Hormuz does not reopen. Barclays said it is maintaining its 2026 average Brent crude oil price forecast at $100 a barrel. The risks are skewing higher. Brent futures were at about $105 per barrel as investors doubted the prospects of a breakthrough in U.S.-Iran peace talks, while the key Strait of Hormuz stayed shut. Hyundai Motor is recalling more than 421,000 vehicles in the U.S. over a software error that may cause an unexpected application of brakes. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the recall covers certain 2025 to 2026 model Santa Cruz, Tucson, Tucson Hybrid, and Tucson Plug-in Hybrid electric vehicles. That's Your Money Now.
Lunch was great, but this traffic is awful.
Can we stop at a bathroom?
Are you all right?
I keep having stomach issues after eating, like diarrhea, gas and bloating, abdominal pain, and sometimes oily stools.
Sound familiar? Those stomach issues may actually be a pancreas issue called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Creon pancrolipase may help manage EPI. Creon is a prescription medicine used to treat people who can't digest food normally because their pancreas doesn't make enough enzymes.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall. If you are allergic to pork or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon. Call 800-633-9110 or visit creoninfo.com to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
I'm asking my doctor about EPI and if Creon could help.
Nevertheless, well, I'll stop there.
Joy, thank you so much. We're against the clock. We appreciate you jumping on with us this morning.
Absolutely.
Thanks
glad to
bunch.
Be here, as always. Have
Thanks.
A good morning.
You bet.
Thank you. You too. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Micah McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Boy, I messed up things bad today, and I messed up Reuben. I'm sorry,
we
Reuben.
We had stuff jumping in. Oh. Poor Joy Walters.
Yeah.
We had stuff just clicking it. There was a... It's all run by computer, and so, you know, you're going to have issues.
Aaron's not allowed over here anymore.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to touch the computer.
When computers are involved, they're great until they aren't.
It's really Ruben's fault, and yeah, I'm just taking the blame.
I have to take the blame. It's my job.
Interesting text from Commissioner John Atkins after the Matt Kay interview, who's the chairman of the Caddo Republican Party, because Atkins was opposing the multi-sports complex.
And he reached out to us and said, and let me quote his text. This is from Caddo Parish Commissioner John Atkins. My biggest reason for voting no on the resolution for putting the sports complex on the ballot is because I felt like the issue has not yet been properly vetted. We don't know the location. We don't have any industry partners confirmed. We don't have any plans in place for new hotel or restaurant partnerships, etc. Personally, I wanted to delay a ballot vote until many of those types of issues had been ironed out. And on another matter, I heard the chamber and the Committee of 100 say they were supportive of moving forward with the concept of a sports complex, but wanted more details before making a final decision. So very well spoken, very well said, Commissioner and John Atkins. I appreciate that.
And that's the concern of a lot of people. We need to vet it.
And we
need to make sure the dollars and cents make sense.
And you and I said from the get-go, you're putting it on a ballot, but you don't even know where it's going to be yet. That was because a lot of people are saying, if you're going to put it at the fairgrounds, I'm not supporting this.
Right. And I know they'll be working on that between now and then, but you obviously can't buy property ahead of time. I mean, they can't go out and say, here's our location, because you can't buy that until it's passed. So you have to say, here's the properties we're looking at. You have to give us an idea. Here's the two or three properties we're looking at. We can't buy this property until it passes. I mean, that's just the dilemma they're in. We have to understand that.
A lot more discussion, lot more to be talked about.
Yep.
And so I am all for, again, you know, that's very well said. I'm all for the concept of a sports complex. That's a great way to put it, and I appreciate that.
Yes, that's kind of where I am, too. I'm for the concept. I need to see some more numbers and vet it and see if, and, the, if the dollars and cents make sense.
And but we do have to invest to grow. We're going to have to make an investment.
Absolutely, no doubt.
Happy Memorial Day. Remember what Memorial Day is actually about.
Yeah, it's not Veterans Day. You're not supposed to say Happy Memorial Day, FYI.
Well, that's true. Sorry, I didn't mean that. I meant we celebrate Memorial Day. We're honoring those who lost their lives serving our country.
Absolutely.
And so take a moment.
Yes.
In the middle of the furniture sales and the barbecues.
And cross mud bugs.
Moment and thank the precious Lord above for blessing this nation, unlike any other nation, and men and women who gave their lives, that we can have Monday off. I'm just saying, honestly, and the reason why we're taking Memorial Day
to remember,
Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.